Hello, this is Pastor Stephen Baker, and welcome to the online edition of the Sunday morning service of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia. This morning we're continuing our study through the Gospel of Mark with a sermon entitled The Commandments of Men. And it's from Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. And Jesus has been ministering and healing and preaching, and he encounters some Jewish religious leaders, some legalists. And they want to criticize him and his disciples for not obeying their laws. And so we'll begin by seeing the legalist find fault, verses 1 through 4. And so Mark chapter 7 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault." Now, I like to wash my hands. I'm pretty much obsessive compulsive about washing my hands. I wash them all the time. But this is not really what this is talking about. It's not talking about people that just find fault with people that use the bathroom and don't wash their hands, or that don't wash their hands before they eat and things like that. This is talking about a religious belief that for ceremonial reasons people needed to wash their hands, and wash them quite frequently. That is why it says, "And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands." Mark is explaining it to his Gentile audience. He's explaining what defiled means. And the Bible Knowledge Commentary says, "Unclean, or common, as Mark explained for his Gentile readers, meant ceremonially unwashed. It was a technical term among the Jews denoting whatever was contaminated according to their religious rituals and thus was unfit to be called holy or devoted to God." And there were two kinds of Jewish law at that time. There was the written law, or the Old Testament. And then there was the oral law. And these were commandments of prominent Jewish teachers, of rabbis, of important people, and they had been handed down. The oral law was eventually collected into a written document called the Mishnah. Basically, the purpose of the oral law was to keep people from getting anywhere near to violating the written law. So it was started as a good thing. This is a good thing. We can draw boundaries. I used to hear preachers preach, we need to have these boundaries with things that aren't necessarily sinful to keep you away from the ditch. Because if you get too close to the ditch, if you just cut it too close, then you're going to fall into the ditch. And so that's what they were doing. They were creating these boundaries to keep people from breaking the law in the Bible. However, it grew into something that attempted to give specific direction to every part of a Jewish person's life. It was used as a form of spiritual control by the Jewish teachers, because anytime you add to God's law and you try and add the traditions of men to strengthen the law, then that's going to actually weaken the law and cause people to violate the law, and wicked people, and sometimes just good people that are very misguided, will use these traditions and these rules to control their people. And that happens in a lot of churches today. So the Bible says in verse 3, "For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders." The tradition of the elders. And that's going to be an important thing that Jesus will talk about in a moment. "And when they come from the market, Now, Mark is continuing to explain this to his Gentile audience, so it's helpful for us to understand this. When they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. They would wipe down and wash everything. And that's a good idea, you know, especially with the kind of disease that's in the world today. It's a good idea to wash your hands and wash your cups and bowls and all those things. But the Jews weren't just washing off dirt. They were doing this for ceremonial reasons. In fact, a person whose hands were dirty might wash their hands and then have to wash them again for the ceremonial reasons. So that's what this is talking about. Warren Wiersbe says, Rabbi Eleazar said, he who expounds the scriptures in opposition to the tradition has no share in the world to come. So Rabbi Eleazar said, if you don't, if you read the Bible in opposition to our tradition, you're going to hell. You know, he's not pulling any punches. You got to follow our tradition or you're going to the hot place. And then he goes on to say, the Mishnah, a collection of Jewish traditions in the Talmud, records, it is a greater offense to teach anything contrary to the voice of the rabbis than to contradict Scripture itself. So they would actually put tradition above Scripture. And I know some other folks who do that today as well, that call themselves Christians. But tradition above Scripture. Dave Guzik, who quoted Wiersbe to teach this, goes on to say this. Dave Guzik says, what a person says never has the same authority as God's Word. What a person says never has the same authority as God's Word, even if they sincerely say it is from God. It never has the same authority as God's Word. So a person can say in all sincerity, this is from God, this is what God wants me to say, and it never has the same authority as God's Word. Even if everyone accepts it, it never has the same authority as God's Word. Even if it makes perfect sense, it never has the same authority as God's Word. You see, nothing has the authority in a Christian's life like the Word of God. And so the Word of God trumps personal opinions and interpretations and visions and dreams and anything else that we may come up with. And a man of God may stand up and say with all the authority in the world, thou shalt not do this. And if it's not in the Bible, it does not trump the authority of God's Word. And you should follow the Bible and your conscience and not what some preacher says. Because preachers say a lot of things. Preachers say a lot of things that aren't true. So just follow the Bible. Follow the Word of God. Even if it makes perfect sense, Dave Guzik says it never has the same authority as God's Word. But the scribes and Pharisees and these Jewish religious leaders had exalted the oral law and the traditions even above God's Word, as we shall see as we read on. Now, number two, they question Jesus about tradition. They questioned Jesus about tradition. They wanted to make an issue with his disciples, and then they questioned him about it in verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes ask him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Why do your disciples not follow the traditions of the elders? Why don't they follow our oral tradition that's written in the Talmud? Why do they not follow that very important tradition? Why do they eat with unwashing hands? They're not ceremonially clean. Why do they do it? And there's lots of people that ask questions like that today. Why, Why does your church not follow our traditions? These are the fundamental traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation to generation. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And so Jesus is going to answer them. And that leads us to number three. Jesus responds to the legalists. Jesus responds to the legalists. And I think you'll see that these responses work well for legalists that we would deal with today. First of all, he said that they're teaching men's doctrines as God's commands. They're teaching men's doctrines as God's commands. He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." The word hypocrite means an actor in a play. And it's just an act because it focuses on what people see, like the masks in the Greek dramas, the Greek dramas that they had during that time, during Jesus' time and Paul's time. They would wear these masks, and that's what it does. It focuses on what people see. Or like Facebook for our modern times, that focuses on presenting a fake image of what life is like. You go on Facebook and everybody's happy. Everybody's having all these successes and these wonderful times with their family and with their spouses, and their marriage is going great and their kids are doing great and everything's great, and that's all you see. And it's fake. It's not real life. What people see is not the same as the true person. And as Jesus will show us soon, it's what's on the inside that counts. Verse 7, he said, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And this is the definition of legalism: teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. If anybody ever says, what's a legalist? What define legalism? It's teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Not having standards. Everybody has different standards, okay? And there are biblical standards and there's personal standards. But legalism is teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Brian Edwards, Pastor Brian Edwards says, you can live under the authority of any standards you choose. You can autonomously decide to avoid ice cream, Cheez-Its, and bottled water if you prefer. Just don't try to increase the credibility of your personal standards by saying they are God's standards. That's a quote from Twitter, another social media, where a lot of people go on to fake things. And so Brian Edwards is just saying, don't try to increase the credibility of your personal standards by saying they're God's standards. And that's what legalism is. That everybody has standards. Everybody has different beliefs about different things. But when you take something that's not in the Bible, that's just a tradition and commandment of men, and you make it on the level of Scripture, you are a legalist. That's what legalism is. So, the second thing Jesus said is that they put God's commands to the side to keep their own traditions. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things do ye. So Jesus said, you kind of just shove the commandments of God to the side to make way for the big boy, the traditions of men. That's what's important to you. We've got the commandments of God, but oh, we've got this intricate web of traditions. And it was so important to them because man created it. It was an idol. You know, when men make something, it becomes very important to us. And of course, the Bible is the Word of God. It never changes. But these things were something creative. They constantly could change. People were adding to them, and they were creating this great system, and it was a system that these guys were experts in keeping, at least outwardly, they kept it. And Jesus is going to go on to talk about the heart. But outwardly they kept it. And so it was an idol to them, this Jewish religious system. And Jesus says, you lay aside the commandments of God and hold to the traditions of men. Now, the third thing he said is they rejected God's commandments to keep their own traditions. Verse 9, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. The Bible Expositor's Commentary says, but by means of the tradition, the responsibility of children to their parents could be easily circumvented. Verse 11, a son need only declare that what he had intended to give his father and mother be considered Corban, in example, a gift devoted to God, and it could no longer be designated for his parents. Now, here's the important part. By devoting the gift to God, a son did not necessarily promise it to the temple, nor did he prevent its use for himself. What he did do was to exclude legally his parents from benefiting from it. Verse 12. So the very purpose for which the commandment was given was set aside by the tradition. So this was a fairly, it was very wicked, but it was an easy way to keep from having to do anything for your parents. You know, your parents get old, and you're supposed to take care of them. The Jewish system, that's the way that worked. And it's the way that it still works today. Usually children take care of their parents. They may have to put them in assisted living, but they watch out for them, make sure they're not being abused, make sure they're being taken care of well. And in a very real way, this is like shoving mom and dad into a nursing home somewhere and not going to visit them and spending all their money. I mean, that's what it is. It's what you're supposed to help your parents with. You say, this is devoted to God. This is Corban. It's very spiritual. But then you can use it for whatever you want to use it for. You don't have to give it to God. You just are excluding your parents from getting it. So you can go out and blow it on a new, I don't know, whatever they got in those days, a new donkey. You know, go blow your money on a brand new car and stick mom and dad in a nursing home. Don't ever go and see them. Corban. So this was wicked, and they laid aside the law of God, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. So Jesus says, y'all do this all the time. You do a bunch of things like this. You lay aside God's word, God's commandments, for your own tradition, which goes against God's commandments. Now, the fourth thing we see is Jesus teaches the congregation, verses 14 through 16. So now he turns to the people because he's done with the religious leaders, and he's going to warn the people against this kind of thing. And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is telling this parable, giving this illustration. And he's warning the people. He's telling the people, watch what's in your hearts. Watch what's in your hearts. The Pharisees and the religious leaders, the legalists, they say, gotta wash your hands. Gotta wash your hands all the time. And if you don't wash your hands and wash your tables and wash your cups and bowls and ceremonially clean everything, then you are not right with God. You are defiled. And Jesus said, it's not the things entering into a man that defile him. It's not that you have a little dirt on your hands and you get some dirt in your mouth that's going to defile you. It's not that you eat without washing the table and sanitizing everything that's going to defile you. It's what comes out of your heart. That's what defiles you spiritually in the sight of God. That's what defiles you. And again, let me stress in this time of coronavirus and everything else that Jesus is not teaching that sanitation is wrong. The book of Leviticus is full of sanitary practices. But what Jesus is teaching is that putting spiritual value on this religious system that the Pharisees have of washing cups and bowls and hands and saying, oh, I am defiled if I do not do this spiritually, that is false doctrine. And he's telling the people, it's not what goes into you that defiles you, but what comes out of you. And that's a very interesting statement, because a lot of people today still think that what goes into you is what defiles you. But Jesus said it's what comes out. Now that leads us to the fifth thing. Jesus explains his teaching to the disciples, verses 17 through 23. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. Obviously, they didn't want to ask him out there because they didn't want to look dumb. So when they went in the house, they said, what did you mean by that? And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. He's talking about just the life cycle there. You eat it, and then you use the bathroom, and it comes out in waste, and it's just, you know, it's the way things work. But it doesn't go to the heart, so it can't defile you. And so now we come to the important thing, the heart of the matter. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So it's not the things. And so the legalist says, you better obey our rules. You better follow our rules and things, because if you don't, you're not right with God. And Jesus said, nope, it's not the things that come from the outside that defile the man, but rather it's what comes from the heart. For all those things he talked about, adultery, murder, fornication, all those different kind of things, drunkenness, all those things don't start on the outside. They start in the heart. They start in the heart. In the Bible is basically what we would call the mind. It's the idea of a place of thoughts, emotions, and will. And that's where sin starts. Sin starts in the heart. Sin starts in our mind. Matthew Henry wrote, our wicked thoughts and affections, words and actions defile us, and these only. As a corrupt fountain sends forth corrupt streams, so does a corrupt heart send forth corrupt reasonings, corrupt appetites and passions, and all the wicked words and actions that come from them. A spiritual understanding of the law of God and a sense of the evil of sin will cause a man to seek for the grace of the Holy Spirit to keep down the evil thoughts and affections that work within. And so we're not going to keep down those evil affections which are present in every single human being, even in believers. We have a new nature. We have a new want to. We have a new desire. We have a new heart. But we've still got sinful impulses and affections and thoughts inside of us. And what's going to keep that at bay is not external rules. It's not legalism. It's not the rules of the legalist and the legalist teacher that says if you'll read this book and you'll read so many verses a day, and if you'll attend church this many times a week, and if you'll give this much of your income, and if you'll do these things, and if you'll not go to the movies, and you'll not go to the concerts, and you'll not do this and not do that, and you'll just keep our rules, then you'll be a spiritual person. It doesn't come from that. It comes from as Matthew Henry says, the grace of the Holy Spirit. The grace of the Holy Spirit. It comes from a sense of the evil of sin, a spiritual understanding of the law of God. When we look at the laws of God, not the laws of men, but the laws of God that are contained in the Bible, the moral law that's contained in the Bible, the law of Christ, when we look at the law of Christ and God's laws through the lens of I'm saved, I'm not going to hell, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, so I want to obey God, I want to do what God wants me to do, I want to not steal and kill and not do bad. You know, the Bible says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So, you know, we get saved and God gives us that desire to do right. And so, when we have a spiritual understanding of that and a sense of the evil of sin, it will cause us to seek the grace of the Holy Spirit to keep down the evil thoughts and affections that work within. So, the Holy Spirit inside of us is going to cause us to overcome sin and to live the Christian life. Not external rules, not legalism, not traditions of men that aren't contained in Scripture, no matter how good they may appear to be. Not those things, but the Holy Spirit. And that's why every believer needs to read the Bible and to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit inside of you is there to lead you and to guide you and to teach you what you need to know. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come and lead us into all truth. And so, how am I to know what's right and wrong? From the Bible. From the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will guide me. And there may be some things that are wrong for me that aren't wrong for you. There may be some things that are wrong for you that aren't wrong for me. And that's where we have spiritual liberty, and we have to follow our own conscience, and we have to obey God and answer to God for ourselves. But we can't take those things and make them rules that everybody in the church has to obey, because if we do that, we are legalists. And we're doing the same thing that the Pharisees did. We're doing the same thing the Jewish religious crowd that went to Galatia did, that Paul spoke against. And we can't do that. Brothers and sisters, we have to follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our own Christian lives and let other Christians have the liberty to follow the Bible and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And by doing that, each of us can live the Christian life. We can run our own race, and we can overcome sin and defeat sin. And it's a work of God's grace, and it's freedom, and it's wonderful, and it's not spiritual bondage. And Jesus gave a very stern rebuke to these Jewish legalists. And then he turned to the crowd and taught the crowd a lesson. And then he went into the house and taught his disciples a lesson, because this is so very, very important. We must follow Jesus and the Bible and not the traditions of men that contradict and take the place of Jesus and the Bible. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I pray if anyone's listening that's not saved, that today would be the day they would turn to you and believe in you as their crucified, buried, and risen Savior. I pray you give them assurance of salvation. And I pray for those of us who are saved listening to this, that we would follow the guidance of your word, follow the guidance of your Holy Spirit and not let another man be a tyrant over our conscience, but that we would follow our own conscience according to the Word of God and the guidance of the Spirit. And we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.